chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving these commands so that you may love one another. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Joan. Ian's going to speak to us now about joy. I'm just going to pray for him before he does that. So, Father God, we thank you so much for Ian. Thank you for his leadership of our church here. Please give us ears to hear what you have to say to us now about joy. Amen.
Thank you, Liz. It's a very joyful morning so far, isn't it, this morning? So we're thinking about the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, and over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at what we call the fruits of the Spirit. And the Bible lists, in Galatians, it lists the fruits of the Spirit. And there's a long list of different characteristics that make up the fruits of the Spirit. And last week we looked at love, and this week we're looking at joy. So what does joy look like? I googled what joy looks like, and this is the answer. There she is. There's joy. There you go. People say that the Church of England is dying. People say that we've got shrinking congregations and that the church is dying. It's no longer relevant to society today, that it's stuck in the past. It's old-fashioned. I attended St. Anne's, and I've got to say I was chuffed to bits with St. Anne's last Sunday night. We had the visitation service, which is a big service for all the deanery. And I attended with all the churches, 17 churches in this deanery. We went to the visitation, and we had the church with the most people. We did really well. So well done, St. Anne's. I was proud of you. But there's, at that service, gathered from all those churches, I've got to say, the average age, I don't think I'm being unkind. Tell me if I am. I think the average age was probably 65 plus, 70. I think the average age was around that. Not from our church, but other churches, when you add that together, it was quite a high average age. Where are the younger people? Why weren't they there? Maybe those critics have a point. Maybe the church is dying. Maybe it's no longer relevant. And maybe this whole thing has burnt itself out. Rubbish is what I say to that. Utter rubbish. What we need is firing up. What we need is a fresh infilling of God's Holy Spirit. And what we need to do is call on the power of God to send his Spirit upon his church and set this place on fire. Not literally on fire, but setting this place on fire for him, so that we are actually ablaze for him, so that we're excited to carry out his work. What we need to do is step up and step out in faith with confidence. God works through his people. That's it. We are his hands and feet. When the kids were doing the actions with the hands and feet and they were showing those pictures of the disciples, we are God's disciples today. We are his hands and feet on this earth today. God works through you and God works through me if we allow him to. Today it's our turn. This is our time to do that. And we need to step in time with the Holy Spirit. And we've got to move in his strength if we want to see revival take place in this place. And you know, I think one of the most infectious and one of the most amazing things that happened on that first day of Pentecost that Liz alluded to before was that the disciples were full of joy. They were absolutely full of joy. They were full of the Spirit, and one of those gifts, as we said, was joy. And they burst out of that upper room, and they went out, and they told everyone because they couldn't stop. They were filled with joy, and we read that over 3,000 people came to faith at that moment, on that day, and 2,000 a little bit later on. I don't know whether you've ever found yourself in that situation where joy is just all around. Have you ever been in it's like a bad infection, isn't it, joy? It spreads quickly. Have you ever found yourself with friends or a gathering and you start laughing at something and you can't stop? You just can't stop laughing. You get the giggles and it's just infectious, isn't it? And the mood lifts in this place. And you don't even know what you're laughing at sometimes. It just carries on, doesn't it? So I don't know whether you've seen this, but it's suddenly gone viral on the internet this week. And it's amazing because I had another little clip that I was going to use, and this has gone viral this week, so hopefully it'll work. Hopefully.
So here we go. I gotta take off my glasses for it. Oh, naturally. Okay, here we go. So, yes! Now watch when my mouth actually moves. That's not me making that noise, it's the mask! Here, listen. Okay, now I'm gonna let Chewbacca talk here. Oh my gosh, I'm in tears. I am in tears. Wow. That is the best birthday present ever to myself. Wow. Oh my goodness. Y'all have an incredible day. It's a simple choice.
There you go. It's the simple joys. There you go. Fantastic. She just couldn't stop, could she? Just laughing. And she bought that for herself. And I couldn't stop laughing. It was fantastic. But there you go. Sometimes you can't stop, can you? Joy is infectious. Apparently, I think about 13 million. It only went up on Wednesday or Tuesday, and about 13 million hits on that thing, which is incredible. But there you go. When I was doing a bit of research for this talk, I went on the Oracle of Google, as you do, and I don't know whether these figures are accurate, but they say something. And basically, it says this: the statistics say that the average 4-year-old laughs 300 times a day, which is amazing. And then the average 40-year-old laughs just 4 times a day. Now, okay, maybe they're not accurate, but they do say something, don't they? And how sad is that? It's hard to think that sometimes, you know, we don't have that joy that girl was experiencing. Maybe we need to be a bit more joyful in our lives. See, because laughter changes us, doesn't it? Laughter changes us in the most lovely way. It just brings unity. It brings togetherness. It just, when we lighten up, we feel a lot more positive, a lot more optimistic, more hopeful, more engaged. We're friendlier. We're more resourceful. We're more attractive. We're more radiant. We're more alive when we're joyful. Sometimes we take life far too seriously, don't we? Michael Pritchard said these words, it's on the screen, I think. You don't lose joy because you grow old. You grow old because you lose joy. Maybe it was the joy of the Spirit that those first disciples had, which was infectious as they went out. People were caught up by that joy. And today we're focusing on joy. And it's one of the fruits of the Spirit, as we said. We looked at love last week and today's joy. And maybe as a church, maybe we've grown old a little bit because we've lost the joy that we should have. And the phrase, you're only as young as you feel, comes to mind here. You know, last year we went on our parish weekend, and the whole weekend was fantastic. But one of the highlights of that weekend was the Saturday night entertainment, wasn't it? We had this entertainment which was just hilarious. And it was just old-fashioned comedy acts. And it was just great fun. people being prepared to have fun and to make a laugh of themselves. That was one of the greatest parts for me of that weekend. People are still talking about that, which is brilliant. So if those who have signed up for our 2017 weekend, you've got that to look forward to. How good's that, eh? But joy is important for the church family. We've got to have fun together. We've got to learn to laugh together. We've got to learn to have fun together. And people say that Christianity isn't relevant, isn't engaging, and isn't fun. Rubbish is what I would say to that. Jesus came that we might have life, and that we might have life to the full, that we might know life in all its fullness. You cannot know full joy unless you know the joy of the Lord. We need to know the joy of the Lord in order to have full joy in our lives. That's right at the heart of what it means to be a Christian, being free. That's what it means to be a Christian, to have total freedom. Now that you might say, oh, hang on a minute, that doesn't sound right, because I know Christians live to a set of rules and regulations that are set out in this book, and you can't have fun if you're living to the rules in there, because you can't do what you want to do. Lots of people will say, Christians can't have fun anymore. But you see, I think we need to look at it in a different way. Rules for living can actually bring freedom. They can bring freedom to live and to enjoy life. Just imagine a world without rules. Imagine a world where there was no rules. It would be utterly terrible. It would be chaos in this world. You'd be scared stiff to leave your house. What would we base anything on? There'd be no structure, there'd be no order to anything. But you know, sadly, some people live their lives a little bit like that. Some people, that's how they live, and society, some might say, is breaking down because of it. And I've got to ask a question. I wonder, those who live that kind of carefree life, that reckless life, does that bring joy in the end to them? I don't know. When I was teaching, before I became a vicar, I used to teach primary school, and to me it was obvious that the children, they preferred a classroom that had discipline, that had rules, that had order. And when we used to get student teachers in, you know, young people who were at university training to be teachers, they were new. They didn't quite have the skills that they needed at that time. They were growing, they were developing. And as a more experienced teacher, it was really hard to give your class over, who you'd worked really hard to get into shape, to give them to student teachers, because they don't have the classroom management. I know there's a few teachers in here who'll know what I'm talking about. And within 5 minutes, what's taken you months to build up to be absolutely spot on can go pear-shaped with a student teacher very quickly. And actually, there was one or two occasions where I had to step in the end, having put up with it for long enough. I had to step in and bring the class back into what was structured and disciplined and ordered. And you know, when you speak to the kids, they much prefer it that way, because they feel safe. They know where the ground rules are, and they feel safe and secure in that. And that's exactly what the rules and the regulations are, if you like, what it says in the Bible. If you're going to look at it like that, that's what they're about. They're about keeping us safe. They're about giving us ways to live that mean we can enjoy living together, and that we can have ground rules that keep us safe in order to do that. That's what they're about. You see, we're made in God's image. We're made to be in that relationship with God. He created us for that purpose. And it's only when we actually enter into that relationship with him, when we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives, that he begins to transform us on the inside out. And he begins to make us more like him. And the fruits of the Spirit that we're looking at over these next 7 or 8 weeks begin to manifest themselves and begin to grow in us. And the joy of knowing the Lord begins to grow in us. That's why Jesus said in the reading from John 15, I told you this, a little bit earlier on, we didn't hear this bit, but he says, I told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. So that my joy, says Jesus, may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You know, sometimes I think we think of Jesus as being really very, 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 very serious all the time. Of course he was, and of course he had a hugely important and serious mission to fulfill on this earth, which was way beyond our imagining. Of course he was serious, but he was human, and he gathered around him a gang of friends. And I know full well that he was just He was a man. He was fully human. And they would have gathered together at night for 3 years. Jesus had this intense ministry with these blokes. And you can't tell me they didn't have a laugh. They would have sat around campfires. They'd have had barbecues. They'd have had amazing times of fun. They'd have said, do you remember when we did that? They'd have been laughing. They'd have shared jokes together. They'd have had fun together. Jesus lived life, and he loved life. And he wants us to experience that joy and that life that he lived. And he says, I've told you this so that my joy, says he, will be in you. That's what he wants, so that we can be filled by him. Our fulfillment is found in him. That's the perfect example that we need to follow. And it's when he enters into our lives that we begin to experience his joy, his life-saving joy. And that comes from knowing that we are accepted, that we are loved, no matter what. Jesus loves you just as you are. I know we all carry baggage. I know we've all beat ourselves up about past things that we've done wrong. But if we seek God's forgiveness, it's forgotten. And Jesus, God loves you just as you are. So rejoice in that. You are loved. You are loved. Rejoice in that. You know, I hear so many people say that they become Christians because they felt something special in church. They saw something that other people had and they wanted it. When they come through the doors, they sense something and they want to be a part of that. That's what we should be about. And what do they sense? They sense the Holy Spirit in this place. And they should sense the joy that comes from knowing God. The joy that we have together as being a family. That's what they should sense. That's what they should see. That's the fruit of joy in our lives. And then the rest of the passage goes on to give us a bit more information. But I'm going to skip this. But I just want to finish on one thing. It says about, I'm talking about how we should actually begin to live that out. How can we live that out in our lives? How can we live out this joy? Just a couple of simple things that make a difference and help us to live this life. Maybe we need to be reattached. If we read that rest of that passage, it talks about remaining in the vine. Maybe we need to be reattached to the vine, to remain in the vine. Gardeners would know if you cut off something, it dies, it shrivels, that's the end of it. If you cut it off from the supply, the main shoot, there's no nutrients getting to it. As Christians, if we separate ourselves from the body of Christ, if we separate ourselves from Jesus Christ and we don't abide in him, we shrivel up, we die. We've got to remain in Jesus Christ and we've got to be attached to him. And part of that means being attached to each other, where we can actually support each other, uphold each other, nourish each other on our journey. So maybe some of us need to be reattached to the vine. And the simple way of doing that, we need to read our Bibles. I don't know when you last read your Bible. You know, you can delight in reading your Bible. You can actually enjoy and look forward to reading your Bible. Pray before you open this book. Lord, I pray you're going to speak to me today through this, through your living word. I pray you're going to speak to me. And as you read, expect the Lord to speak to you. Open it and read with expectant hearts. Expect something in that book to jump out and to hit you, because God wants to speak to us. I wonder when you last read your Bible. Pray expectantly before you do. It's important that we know God's word, that we remain in him. Then, once we remain in him, we can find his joy. Seek his will in your life. That's why it's important that we come to church. You can't be a Christian on your own out there. Got to come together as the body of Christ. Secondly, we need to give ourselves in service. I'm nearly finished. Give ourselves in service to others. One of the biggest problems in this world is that we are so self-centered nowadays. We look after number one. And actually, one of the most amazing things and the gifts is actually giving to others. That's one of the greatest things that we can experience joy is when we give something to others. I've often wondered why the writer of Hebrews says these words, he endured the cross, scorned the shame because of the joy that was set before him. Why was the cross an object of joy for Jesus? I wrestled with that for ages. Why was the cross an object of joy for Jesus? Well, I think it's because he didn't do it for himself. He did it for you and he did it for me. He went to the cross for us. And there's joy even in the cross. because he did it knowing that we would be saved and rescued through his death. So why not today do something for someone else? Maybe visit someone who's lonely. Maybe go and see someone you've not seen for a while. Maybe go to a nursing home. Maybe mow someone's lawn. I don't know. Maybe give some money away to a charity or do something different. Do something different for someone else other than ourselves. And thirdly and finally, focus on the eternal. Don't focus on the temporal. You see, the reason Jesus could endure the cross is because after the cross, as Liz said at the start, came the resurrection. After the cross came the resurrection. And as we go through life's experiences, we need to see that one day there's going to be a glorious, glorious resurrection when we too will be with Jesus. And one of the strap lines that I often use when I lead a funeral is I say that for those who love the Lord, for those who are in that relationship, one day the best is yet to be. We'll be with him forever. Focus on the eternal. Don't focus on the temporal. Live this life. Live it to the full. But know that one day we'll be with him forever. And there's joy to be found in just that alone. That one day we'll see the Lord face to face. Let's pray together. Lord, as we reflect on the fruits of the Spirit, and I'm particularly thinking today about the fruit of joy, Lord, help us to realize that you lived life to the full, and you want us to live life to the full, to experience the joy that comes from knowing that we are loved, that we are found, and that we are saved and accepted by you. Lord, may we know that joy deep in our hearts. And Lord, may we live a life of joy, that others would see you in us, that see the difference you make in our life, and they'd want to know more. And as your family here, may we be joyful, and may we be infectious to those who come through those doors. And we ask this in your name. Amen.